of today. Amen. And my heart's desire is those children, those babies will find Jesus at an early age. And they'll be able to let their friends know that Jesus lives, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus loves you. Isn't that a message that all of us had to hear, not had, but heard one day, that Jesus loves you? Have you ever been in a place where you didn't really feel loved, or you felt on the outside, you felt like you're on the outside looking in? And some kind of way, and it's only by God's grace, that he knocked on our door. And I thank God that I opened up the door to Jesus Christ.
Praise God. So we just thank the Lord today again for being here on this resurrection morning. Praise the Lord.
All over this globe, people are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who are those that are celebrating? Those who have come to know him in a very personal way. This is you're talking about Christmas. Oh, I love Christmas and the gifts and the trees and the lights and the good food, but it's something about Easter. Yes, yes. It's something about the resurrection that really stirs my heart because it meets me where I'm at. I thank God for Jesus on today.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Sister Jennifer, for the praise and worship on today. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That one song, I believe that second song said, "No Turning Back." Wow. Is that anybody's story today, your testimony today, that there's no turning back? Do we remember where God brought us from and we think about where we are now and then we look forward to where he's taking us to? No turning back. Say, the cross is before me. Woo, and the world is behind me. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. So I know that we have a lot going on today. There's probably the kitchens are smelling real good all around town and in your homes. Praise the Lord. Family coming by. And it's just a blessing. So I'm going to try to be brief today the best I know how. But the thought that's in my heart today is I rest my case. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've heard that maybe watching Perry Mason. Come to a point in the trial to where, you know, I rest my case. That means all the evidence I can bring forth, I've done it. See, there's some things that we hear in the courtroom. Like, you know, there's eyewitnesses. There's no testimony like an eyewitness, you know. Eyewitness that can put the key in the lock, open the whole thing up so somebody can understand what really happened. You've heard sometime they say, okay, next witness, we're trying to get a little more information here. You know, you hear the term of circumstantial evidence, right? We really don't have no DNA. You know, we don't have no photographs, no video. But the circumstances look like something's happened here. They have what's called the preponderance of evidence. I mean, it's just the evidence just stacked up. I mean, a mile high. You know, there's a term that's called the jurors have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that this suspect or this accused is guilty of whatever it is. And then you get to a point in the trial where say, no more questions. You know, and it's one thing if you on that side of the table, it's another thing if you're on the other side. Yeah. And then it get to the point where the prosecution say, I rest my case. You know, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the resurrection. And we're living in time where some of us know and understand that Jesus died and rose again, and we have committed our souls to him. Praise God. But there's still some people today who are not convinced. All right. No, they've heard it. They've heard folks talk about it. They've heard testimonies, and yet they're still not convinced. But for me, I rest my case. Sometimes people want to know, is it true or is it false? Is some of y'all old enough say, is it live or is it Memorex? You know, I don't know how people are doing stuff now because there's cameras everywhere. You know, oh, I'm going to get away with this. No. You know, it wasn't no cameras in Jesus' day.
Oh, but the evidence is there. Amen. Did something happen as alleged? Thank you, God. And so here, you know, we look at the scriptures today. We look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of them giving their account of the resurrection, of what happened, what they observed on that time. And so I just want to jump into, we're going to look at today, we're going to look for a main passage of John chapter 20, verse 24 through 31. But I want to kind of just kind of set the scene. I want us to kind of think about what's happening, what's going on. You know, we just celebrated Good Friday. And oh, man, it was a dark day where Jesus hung on the cross for your sins and for mine. He was bludgeoned. He was scourged. You know, just excruciating pain. But he gave it up. He said it is finished when he was on the cross. He said the debt is paid in full. Thank you, Lord, for your sins and for mine. And then we have what was called, what I call, Silent Saturday. Because all of those who had their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, who walked with him, who talked with him, who had been healed by him, those who perceived and believed that he was their Messiah that was going to come and deliver them from the bondage of the Romans. But now he's hanging on the cross, and they saw him there, and they saw him hang his head and die. So Silent Saturday was, people were perplexed. People were not sure. People were wondering what's next. And it was a hard time there. Those who had trusted Jesus, and now their hope is on the cross. You see, Jesus had said many times that I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be hung on a cross, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise on the third day. You know, sometime, though, we live in a time where people, I'm from Oklahoma, so y'all pray for me. I got some Oklahomaisms. But sometimes folks don't believe fat meets greasy. You know, I remember when we had my wife's great auntie living with us, Aunt Claudie, your auntie, and she loved a good argument. I don't care what it was, she gonna be on the other side of it. And she had got to the point where she had been in and out of the hospital, and she's a trooper. She was standing strong, but we'd pick her up from the hospital after days and weeks in the hospital. She's back home. And so I wanted, you know, here Mr. Barnabas, Mr. Son of Encouragement, me, going to encourage Auntie. Well, we, you know, again, we called her Annie. How you spell Annie, I don't know. But Auntie, we called her Annie. And so I go into a room, and I say, Annie, your hair is growing back. She say, no, it's not. Okay, here we go. I say, really, Annie, it's growing back, I can tell. No, it's not. So you would think I'd say, I rest my case, right? I go and get the mirror. I got the tape measure first. And I measure hair that was hanging out, and it was about like this. I say, Annie, look, it's growing. She said, no, it ain't. Oh. Still haven't rested my case. So I go and get the mirror, and I put it, look, Annie, check it out. Yo, she said, no, it ain't. I say, I rest my case. At that point, I was done. Sometime it takes certain things for certain folks to believe and to understand the reality of what's going on. And so I want to take us back a little bit to that first day of the week. I want to look at Matthew first, and we'll get to John 20. But just look, these passages have always blessed me. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 through 7. Now, after the Sabbath, which was Saturday, right? Jesus was crucified on Friday. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week, Sunday, began to dawn. I mean, this is early in the morning. You know, now, you know, some of us don't even get up to around 9. And don't be retired. You ain't got to get up if you don't want to. Any retired folks in the house? Amen. Don't have to get up early no more. And some of you young folks, you're gonna get there one day. Just hang in there. But it said it was as the first day of the week began to dawn. Mary Magdalene, remember that name, Mary Magdalene? Wow,
This is the lady who Jesus cast seven demons out of. And you know what? After that, she just loved Jesus. Wouldn't you love him too? If you've been delivered from seven demons, your life was a wreck. And this man, Jesus, wow, he delivered you. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. Now, mind you, Jesus had been crucified, taken off the cross, and put in a borrowed tomb. Why a borrowed tomb? He wasn't going to need it long. And in those days, in this tomb, this cave that's been cut out for burial, they took and rolled a big, huge one-ton or two-ton stone over it to seal the gravesite, to seal the tomb. But see, it's no power like the power of God. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb, and behold, and in modern day vernacular, look here. Like, wow. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Now, that's the first problem. You know, they come into the tomb to see what they can do with Jesus' body. They can't get, I don't know what made them think they could even get in. Big stone head. So, and behold, first, number one, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. I don't know about y'all, but I would be toast right about then. Just get a spatula, big spatula, and just scrape me up off the ground. You know, we can't handle too much now, earthquakes. Remember, last week when your phone went off? Be ready, earthquake. Now, I'm sitting at a restaurant. You know? And I see this thing. Okay, I'm ready to take evasive action. They say cut, duck, and cover. I don't feel it. So I moved my coffee to the middle of the table. See, just in case I have to hit it, you know, and I felt this little boom, boom. I would say, is that it? This wasn't that kind of earthquake. The Bible said, behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. The angel came and rolled back the stone from the door. My God. And why did he do that? Not that Jesus could get out. He was already gone. Wow. And look, the angel sat on the stone. Can you imagine? I remember we was at a funeral one day. I got to tell you this. So we were at a funeral, and one of the young men, Pastor Ridge of mine's son, he saw one of his cousins. He said, hey, man, how you doing? I ain't seen you so long. He said, what you do? He said, I'm a security guard. He said, you got a gun? He said, no. He said, well, you ain't guarding nothing. And that's kind of what we're going to see happening here. All right, let me read the word. So the earthquake come. The angel rolled the stone away. He's sitting on it. The angel's countenance was like lightning. Can you picture this? The angel's countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. You're talking about mortified. And listen to this. And the guards shook for fear of him. I believe their knees was knocking. I believe they got pale. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. What are you guarding? Let me get this straight. What are you guarding again? Because, you know, it would be a problem in those days if you sent to guard something and you go to sleep, whatever your excuse is, but we'll go tell the king, well, I was just mortified because of that. No. And became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid. I believe God is telling someone in the house today, don't be afraid. God's got this. He know who you are. He know what you're looking for. He said, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Newsflash, he is not here. Wow. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, where he had laid before. Now, we know how they wrapped up people like mummies, right? But we also know that they used this different ointments and stuff, and it was like glue. So when they would wrap a body, it was kind of like it would solidify and be hard for that body. Jesus' body was gone. The clothing and stuff was laying there.
and the head wrap was sitting there unwrapped. How much evidence do you need? I wonder if at this point had they rested their case. Maybe not. It said, and now listen what the angel's instruction is. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. I try to put myself in these places sometimes. I've never seen a funeral, been to a funeral yet, and I've been to many where nobody got up. You know, now when I was young and had hair, and I did a lot of weddings. But now I got older, I do a lot of funerals. Time brings about a change. He says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. The angel said, behold, I have told you. Amen. How many of us have someone, a mother, a grandmother, a grandfather, somebody, a preacher, a deacon, somebody have told you that Jesus is real, that Jesus is Lord. You can see him. You can know him. He can be your Savior. So here's the word. Behold, I have told you. Go and tell the disciples. Well, the disciples, they scared to death. Their leader, Jesus, have been dragged off into court and been crucified, been scourged, and died. Wow. So the disciples, their life was not worth 10 cents. They were afraid. See, you know, it's something about facing death, especially without the knowledge and the comfort of Jesus. And so here's instructions. Here's the scene. It's early in the morning. The tomb is empty. The angels is there. The earth is quaking. It's some powerful stuff going on here. I mean, it's some powerful things going on here. So on this same day, let me shoot over to John chapter 20, verse 19. Listen to this. That then the same day at evening, so from dawn in the morning to now it's evening time. Remember, Jesus is no longer in the tomb. It's still being the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled. Okay, don't miss this. The doors were shut. The doors were locked. The disciples inside scared to death because they don't know if the Gestapo, well, in this case, the Roman guards or the Pharisees, is going to come looking for them. So they in a safe place, so they thought. So listen to this. So when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the middle of them. Nowhere I read where he knocked on the door, where the usher opened up the door. Remember, Jesus has risen now with a glorified body. And he can meet us where we are. You can be behind prison walls. And he'll come on through. And so here Jesus came right on in the midst of them. Oh my God. Thank you, Lord. So it said Jesus came and stood in the midst of, and said to them, peace be with you. Here it is again. Why did he say peace? Have you seen those cartoons back in the day where somebody gets so scared and they run through the wall and you can see the silhouette or see what it looked like carved out? Those 10 disciples, they would have got out of there. But God has a way of speaking peace in the midst of chaos. Speaking peace in the hard times of our life. Speaking peace when there's noise all around us. Speaking peace when we don't know and we don't know which way to turn. Right. He's able to speak peace. And so Jesus walks in the room through the doors and says, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Why did he do that? See, oh my God. He said, look, it's me. The holes in his hands or his wrist right here. His side pierced by the Roman soldier. Remember the Roman soldier who pierced him in the side? And that Roman soldier said, oh my God, it's dark at 12 o'clock in the daytime. The earth is shaking. This Roman soldier said, this got to be the Son of God. Maybe that Roman soldier at that time said, I rest my case. I don't care what Caesar say. I don't care what Pilate is saying, that must be the Son of God. Thank you, Lord. So the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. You remind me of David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Oh, thank you, God. And so let's get to the main scriptures here. Praise God. In John 20 and 24. Now, remember I told you it was only 10 disciples. Judas had killed himself. And Thomas wasn't there when Jesus came in. The question is, what do you believe? See, so verse 24 says, now Thomas called the twin, maybe in King James vernacular, Didymus, which means the twin. Now Thomas called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came in. Have you ever heard about something that happened at a revival? Or something that happened at church one day, how the Lord came in. Have you heard testimony of when I was sick and all of a sudden somebody prayed for me and the Lord raised me up? We've all heard some stories and we're like, yeah. Sometimes we may not believe it. Now, Thomas called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. Thomas, we have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord. So he said to them, listen to what Thomas said. And he gets a bad rap. This is doubting Thomas, right? You know, how would we say it today? He was from Missouri. Yeah, the show me state. You know, you're going to have to show me something. You know, I remember one time I was a little bitty fella living in Compton. I seen other people say, hit me. No, you hit me first. I was skin and bones. They used to call me crossbone. So I get in my mind, when my friend Gregory's brother front me, he's a couple of years older than me. And I said, you hit me first. I didn't know you could really see stars. I rest my case after that. I never told nobody again, hit me first. Okay, I figure I just throw that in. So the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see, listen to what the man's saying. Listen to what Thomas had to say, doubting Thomas had to say. Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. How many people today are saying, I'm not going to believe it. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to be like old Blue Eyes. I did it my way. But just as sure as we live it, one day we're going to have to die. But he said, I will not believe. Listen to this. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside the room. Door closed again. And now Thomas is with them. And Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be to you. Here we go again. Now doubting Thomas is in the room. Now Jesus had come in like, you know, beam me up, Scotty, all that kind of, because Jesus have a glorified body now. And listen, verse 27, then he said to Thomas, see, this is where it gets real touching to me, because God will meet us where we are. It's one thing when we're talking to the group. It's one thing when we're in the crowd. But it's another thing when it's you and God. That place where God ministers to you, where when he gives you the blessed assurance that everything is going to be all right. Have anybody ever been there? Have anybody in here ever had a trial in your life? And the Spirit of the Lord let you know, though the trials may come, the storms may come, the rain may descend, but God has said, I'm with you. I don't care what your past has been. I don't care what the people are saying about you. Jesus said, I'm here for you. He's concerned about us. So listen, let me finish this up. So then he said to Thomas, thank you, Lord. The Lord is omniscient. He knows everything. Nobody have to tell God anything. He knows everything.
The disciples didn't have to go and say, hey, Jesus, guess what Thomas said? We're going to rat him out. They didn't say nothing. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. Now the risen Savior, who a day before was yet now in a tomb, that Friday who had been crucified, now the risen Savior who they walked with and who they talked with during his lifetime, during his 33 years on this planet, now he's in front of him. He's in front of Thomas. He's in front of doubting Thomas saying, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it in my side. And Jesus tell him, do not be unbelieving, but believing. Is that what he's saying to us today? I don't care what your situation is. He's saying, believe me. Don't be doubting. Believe me. Trust me. I got a purpose and a plan for your life. Praise God. And so Thomas answered and said to him, this is where the subject of the message come in. This is it right here. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Nowhere does the scripture say that he touched his hand. He put his hand in his side. But when he saw the Lord and he saw the evidence, he saw the holes in his hand and the wound in his side, he said, oh, my Lord and my God. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. If anybody seen Jesus in the house, let me see your hand. But let me see those who believe Jesus, your hands in the house. See, praise the Lord. So blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. You mean to tell me this man Jesus who I've committed my soul to, my very life, my eternal existence, I've given it to him because I want to go to heaven. I want to be with him. I want my sins to be forgiven. I've committed my soul to him. Guess what? I need to trust him now. I need to trust him now. If I can trust him with my very soul, I should be able to trust him with any situation that come up in my life. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Listen to verse 30 and 31. Truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So the question on the floor today is, do you still have questions? See, have you rested your case? If there's been doubts in your mind that Jesus loved you, you need to make up your mind on today. No more questions. From the preponderance of evidence, Jesus is Lord. He is Savior. I don't believe anybody in here today was born saved, was born saying, Jesus, I love you. Something had to happen. You know, the old song says, something happened. Ooh. And now I know. See, Jesus is real. He's real today. And so that's you see in these court cases to where sometimes the defense attorney say, no, we ain't putting you on the stand. I'm defending you. And you might be innocent, but they're going to make minced meat out of you if we put you on the stand. But you know what? I believe I'll testify. While I say, put me on the stand when it comes to Jesus. I heard somebody say many years ago, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would they have enough evidence to convict you? Oh, thank you, Lord. Evidence is to convict us. So for me, I believe I'll just testify. Because I know Jesus is real. I know that he's a Savior. I know that he's a healer. I'm talking about for myself. I know that he's a healer. Have anybody in here heard of anybody having a blockage in their heart and it goes away? See, I rest my case because for 2 years, they're telling me I got a 50% blockage in my heart, in my artery. go and have this little angiogram thing done, and I'm supposed to be underfit and all and laying there out of it, and I hear the people talking, and they saying, well, his artery looked better than mine. I'm like, huh? End up going to the doctor, and he says, it's not even 10%. Listen, I rest my case. Jesus is real. I was lost in my sin. I was drifting in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, and I was sinking to rise no more. But the Master, he of the sea, he heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. Who else but a God, oh man, who else but Jesus can take broken things and put it together again? Who can take someone who was a drunk in high school and a drunk in the military, come out and get married and got a house and cars and don't know Jesus and lose it all and divorce for almost 3 years, but then this man named Jesus saves my ex-wife. Almost 3 years later, he's talking to me and I didn't even know it was him. And he put us back together, and here it is 45 years later. Amen. I rest my case, see. When my daughter Camille was born with a heart condition and didn't gain a pound after 6 months, and we were praying and not knowing what to do, and at the children's hospital, and one day the Spirit of the Lord said, just go on and have the surgery. And we obeyed the Lord, and here she's still standing 40 years later. I am convinced. I rest my case. I have no more question. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Going to take somebody like little old me? Now, I know if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. I know he's doing it for you. So let me just take a quick poll before I sit down. How many in here ever been healed by the power of God? Oh, God, how many in here have given your life to Jesus and you're not who you used to be? Is anybody here ever had a problem with anger and hatred and malice, and now you're walking in a heart of love? I rest my case. Jesus is Lord. Have you ever needed a job, didn't know where it was going to come from, and all of a sudden you get a phone call? Say, we're going to accept you. Jesus is Lord. Woo. The preponderance of evidence is there. Thank you, Lord, and amen. So I just thank the Lord today. If you still have questions, God got the answers. This is Resurrection Sunday. God is doing some tremendous things in our life. And I'm excited. I'm happy for Jesus on today. So let's give the Lord a hand praise for who he is. He's worthy to be praised. Nobody like him. He turns dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He's still raising the dead. He's still giving sight to the blind. He's still mending broken hearts. Y'all remember Al Green? He talked about where can I go or something like that to mend a broken heart. Say, go to Jesus. But he had to learn the hard way. He was running around and doing his thing, and his wife got mad and poured them hot grits on him. He run looking for Jesus, been preaching ever since. It shouldn't have to get to that point. Serve the Lord while you can. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Jesus is Lord. He'll put running in your feet and clapping in your hands. Amen. I'm done. Praise the Lord. Praise God, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we're gonna have another selection, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to pray God's blessings over all the saints that are here on today. Amen.